Welcome to a Spanish lunch with Mike Randolph and me, Ben Curtis, this time in Malaga, Andalusia. We arrived in the city on a Wednesday afternoon and headed straight out to check out the buskers, like this guy on the guitar, and to find one of the most simple and delightful of Spanish foods, the sticks of fried batter, known as churros.
So we've got a cup of hot chocolate in front of us and two big fat churros. Now in Madrid, when you order churros, they're thin, like middle, you know, index finger thin. And these look like what in Madrid are called porras, which are like, big, thick. A couple of centimeters diameter.
But you know what? I like these better.
These are much better.
These are way better.
And they're much better than anything I've ever had in Madrid.
Yeah, they're light. They're crunchy, but they're light. They're not dense. Ah.
Now, we're sitting in this alleyway. It's called Casa Aranda. And they basically, this place has taken over the entire alleyway, plus several of the shops that have come off it. They've turned into separate little, we're sitting outside on the street, but they've turned lots of old shops into little dining rooms. And the waiters just wander up and down, taking orders, and then calling in to the guy at the end that's making the churros non-stop. How many to snip off?
Yeah, dame seis, dame cuatro, or stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're just, they're light and crunchy.
They're
perfect
the best
snack. And cheap. I mean, it's like, they're 45 cents each. But
yeah.
They're like a foot long.
Yeah. So you could live off this quite cheaply, but you wouldn't last a week. You know,
yeah.
Like batter and fat.
Yeah. I'm prepared to say that these are the best churros I've ever had, actually. What do you think?
Without doubt.
I had my
dipped in the hot chocolate. This is like heaven.
Yeah, my previous best was in Valencia, at a chain churreria place, the Valor Chocolate.
Muk Churro.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a place called Mr. Churro King.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the greatest. Oh. Like, if you could think
That's
of the
hilarious.
Tackiest name ever
yeah.
for a place selling anything, put Mr. at the front and King on the end. It was called Mr. Churro King. Fantastic.
That's great. But these are.
He's wiped the floor with Mr. Churro King.
Yeah.
The next morning, with lunch already in mind, we headed out to one of Malaga's most wonderful fish markets.
So we're in the Mercado Atarazanas, standing right in the middle of this beautiful old wrought iron market building.
Recently refurbished, actually, recently renovated. About 2 years ago, they kept the original structure and then updated the stalls and made it look.
This is sort of arches, green wrought iron arches in the Moorish style.
Yep.
Which is. So it should be here in Andalusia. And underneath, endless little network of little stalls all joining each other. And all the ones around us are full of fish, which are laid out in a way I've never seen before, because instead of just 100 boquerones, how do you say boquerón in English?
Anchovy, right. White anchovy.
Okay, instead of hundreds of anchovies, by the way, that amazed me, because I hate anchovies, but I love boquerones. So clearly, I don't know myself very well.
Yeah, they're white anchovies. They're before they've
if
been
I'd known
cured.
If I'd known that, I never would have eaten them. Wow, okay. That's interesting.
There you go.
But instead of all being piled on top of each other, they're all laid out, kind of with lots of space around them, and quite kind of almost artistically in a beautiful, intricate pattern. What's going on?
Well, you can see that they're like in little U-shaped forms, and that's because they still have their rigor mortis, and that means that they were, you know, they've died recently, because after 4 or 5 hours they just go limp, and that's how you see them in the supermarket, because they've been dead for a long time. But so here, that's where they sort of display. It's like, look how fresh our fish is. This was caught this morning.
Wow.
And those are jureles over there, the slightly bigger ones. And those, in English, is horse mackerel.
Oh,
and
wow.
That's a typical one around here as well. It's sort of, you know, it's an oily fish. And it's for that reason, very delicious.
And very healthy.
And very healthy.
Your omega 3.
Yes.
And all that.
Absolutely.
Well, who knew? I liked anchovies, after all.
There we're going to discover all sorts of things that you like that you didn't know.
No, I didn't know.
That's our mission for our adventure in Malaga.
Well, let's take a wander around the market.
That's good. The other thing I was going to show you, Ben, is there's those fish over there, which are merluza, which is probably Spain's most popular fish, really.
Hake.
You see how they twist them around and they sort of open the gills. They're showing off how red and beautiful those gills are, so you can see how fresh they are.
They're biting their own tails.
And they're biting their own tails.
I thought that was the point of it.
Well, they often do that with the ones de ración, which is just sort of, you know, where you eat one entire fish. But of course, hake grows quite big. With the larger ones, they don't normally do that. But yeah, they're just showing off how fresh their fish is. And you're just not going to find fresher fish than this. It can't be. There was a lot of these boats came in this morning, so.
Yeah. Fresher than you get it in Madrid. And Madrid is very proud of having some of the best fish and seafood.
That's
which
true.
Makes no sense at all, because it's in the middle of the country. But
and they do say,
it's not as good as this.
I mean, at some ports across Spain, there are refrigerated trucks waiting at 5 in the morning when certain boats come in, and they go right to Madrid. And sometimes they go by plane. So Madrid does get extremely fresh seafood. But the little fish, like the boquerones and the jureles and those things, it's harder to find. You can't find those in Madrid like you can find them here. The big fish travel better, basically. So this is a cuttlefish here at this stand. And in Spain, cuttlefish are called sepias. And you know old black and white photographs that have that tint to them? They're called sepia.
Yeah.
Well, they used to use that ink from the cuttlefish. And when that ink dries, it has a bit of a reddy tone to it. Okay. And that's what we call sepia toned in English.
After the market, we were heading for the beach at last, but had to cross the old town again to listen to some more wonderful guitar busking and check out Malaga's most famous coffee spot.
We're in Malaga's Café Central.
On the Plaza de Constitución.
Right in the middle. And we're having a bit of tourism here, because Mike wanted to show me the place to get coffee in Malaga, which is ironic because neither of us like coffee.
But they serve it in so many different ways. I've never seen it served in quite so many ways as they do here.
There's a postcard on the wall, and it shows you how you can order your coffee. You can have it solo, which is basically only coffee. Largo, which is lots of coffee but a bit watered down. Semi-largo, not a bit more water added, I think, so it's not quite so strong. And on down you get solo, un café solo corto, mitad, entre corto, corto, sombra, nube, which I guess is not very much coffee at all.
And my favorite is?
No me lo pongo.
No me lo ponga.
Sí, no me lo ponga. Subjunctive.
So funny, like.
It's an empty glass. It's like, just don't give me coffee.
Exactly.
What we went for.
That's what we had. We had a no me lo ponga. Para que usted tome el café a su gusto.
But the thing is, it can get more complicated than this, because I remember in Madrid someone explaining this to me once. You can also decide, do you want it in vaso, in a glass,
yeah,
or in taza, in porcelain cup. So there you got two more options straight away.
And then the milk too. Some people like it warm. Some people like it cold. Some people like it hot.
I've got my Catalan friend Pet. Every time he orders a coffee, he has a café con leche, but he says, "Y el leche muy caliente, pero muy caliente." Like he cannot stand his coffee to come to him even tepid. You know, he wants it scalding.
You take a little thermometer around and check, one of those infrared things. You can just sort of from a distance. Warm that up more.
98 degrees. It's not hot enough. So, I don't know, I mean, I can't drink Spanish coffee, I discovered early on, because it turns me into a mess of fried nerve endings, followed 2 hours later by a slump of anxious depression.
Weeping and...
So what I have done, because I love the taste, is to order descafeinado de máquina, which is a decaf made in a machine. But even that makes me a bit nervy. I think there's still a bit of caffeine in it.
But isn't it? There's but you drink tea, but not.
I drink not infusiones.
Infusiones.
Sin teína ni cafeína. Like I don't know. Right. Poleo menta, which is mint tea or stuff like that.
So what is that? It's not actually even tea then.
It's like, I don't know.
It's just like
mint.
Just mint.
Mint leaves. Yeah. Can't, that's not going to alter your nervous system.
Yeah, no, you never know. You'd be surprised.
I moved to Spain 18 years ago with the sole intention of moving to live by the sea, like anywhere by the sea. And I've spent 18 years in Madrid, the geographically furthest point you can get from the sea. I come from Oxford, which is the geographically furthest point you can get from the sea in the UK.
Did you feel at home then?
So every time I come to the sea, I feel profoundly happy. And here we are, we've made it to the beach in Malaga.
You haven't stopped smiling since we got here.
I haven't stopped smiling, so you can't really record a smile, but I've got
one. You can hear it, you know, you can think you can hear it in your voice, actually.
You know what, Malaga would have done me fine. I wasn't any sea, north, south, east, west. If you had to live on the sea in Spain anywhere, Mike, where would you live?
Well, Malaga is a great contender for sure. Probably somewhere in the south. Malaga or Cadiz, I would think.
So Malaga's famous for having an incredibly good climate. People swim here all year round, and they do in San Sebastian as well, but but they're like hardcore.
Yeah. It's not
crazy people. Here you can swim nearly all year round, and it's nice.
Yeah. It's wonderful, and it's right here. You imagine you just walk out of your apartment and just walk down to the beach, grab your with a towel. And your flip-flops?
That was the idea, but...
A little chapuzon in the morning?
It may yet happen, you know.
Well?
I'm a landlubber. There's nothing to be done about it. So we're walking slowly around the coastline of Malaga, heading east, I guess, northeast.
Yep.
And we have stopped at a place recommended to us in one of the comments from our show on Avila by Kimberly. Thank you very much, Kimberly. This place is called El Balneario. And it is basically a pretty large restaurant with a huge terraza right on the water.
Sort of sticking out into the little promontory, like sticking out into the sea there.
Yeah, I mean, the waves are actually practically crashing onto the tables because the Mediterranean today is quite wavy. And Kimberly, thank you very much because it is a very nice spot. We're on our way to another beach called El Palo, to a place called...
El Tintero. It's a great place for pescado frito and all the typical things they eat here in Malaga. And it's very lively and just amazing food. Awesome.
So that's our Spanish lunch coming up. To, you know, keep the theme, obviously, of the name of this podcast. But we've had a little stop to check out Kimberly's place. And sorry we're not eating here, Kimberly, but Mike tells me we've got to go to the place at El Palo.
Next time.
I will be back to eat here because it's... The big main road is behind us, but you can't hear it or see it. All you can hear is the sound of the waves crashing onto the beach. Mm-hmm. imagine sitting in the middle of February on a beach in the Mediterranean by the sea, backed by eucalyptus trees, and nice men come out with really good...
We don't know if they're nice, really.
Well, really good seafood, and just offer it to you. And when you hear the sound of something you like, you just say, wave them
over.
It's
like an auction. And, put your hand up and they...
I'll have a plate of that. I mean, that sounds pretty good to me. It's basically this.
That's what it is. This is El Tintero on the beach El Palo in Malaga. And yeah, not only eucalyptus trees, but palm trees, and the sea is right there, and its lovely bounty is now on our plates.
What are these?
These are...
what were they called?
Puntillas.
Puntillas.
Little baby calamari. Sometimes they're little baby octopus too, but these are calamari.
Very nice.
Delicious.
You got some lemon on that?
Sure.
Anyone ever asked me why I moved to Spain? This would come pretty close to the answer. Why did you move to Spain, Mike?
So I could come to El Tintero and eat puntillitas and
in
drink
February.
Some white wine in February in my shirt sleeves. I think that's okay. So, same reason.
Same reason. You come from somewhere quite cold.
Where I come from is still sort of up in the air. I mean, it's a difficult question to ask,
answer. Where'd you come from?
Well, I don't know. I'm in between countries. Where did I come from? Well, I was born in Spain, but grew up in Canada. So now I live in Spain. I've lived in Spain for the past 10 years. So in Canada, they call me the Spanish guy. They call me Miguel. And here, they think of me as a Canadian guy, Mike, you know, even though I was born here. So, it's a bit of a, you know...
I don't know.
The jury's out.
I'm not sure where I come from anymore either. I come from Oxford, but what I tell people now is estoy muy españolizado. I'm very Spanishified.
I feel like a stranger when I go back to Canada, actually, a lot of times.
I feel like I'm undercover or something because I feel like a tourist.
You're
but
a
I fit in because I'm British, you know. I've been sitting in a coffee shop in London or something and I just feel really weird. But no one would know that because I just look like another London guy.
You're incognito completely.
It's quite
hard. You're a perfect
explain.
Double agent if there's ever any kind of like, you know. No, but when because well, we both have accents in our Spanish, but, you know, because you walk up to somebody here and they think you're a tourist. It's like, no, you've lived here for 18 years. So you feel, even while you live here, you feel a little bit like not an imposter, but a little strange.
You know, though, I think I feel Spanish. Like, there was a point when I lived here when I would feel almost apologetic to have, it sounds a bit silly, but like, maybe it's a British thing, almost apologetic to like, be hanging out with other Spanish parents or something like that. And sometimes I catch myself thinking now, oh, I don't feel like at all anymore. It feels completely natural for me to have Spanish friends.
Yeah.
Do you know the funny thing here is the...
What funny thing?
Here, like, you can just say, yeah, I'll have some of that. I'll have some of that. You have no idea how much it costs.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like you look at a menu and you go, oh, this costs €9. Or, so we could be in big trouble.
Well, we saved on the churro, so...
We spent an hour and a half walking here, so we saved on the bus fare.
Exactly. Is there some calamari?
Yeah. Same. Right, miss me.
Respeto,
gracias.
Sí, va a salir ahora.
Vale.
La concha fina le vendo concha.
I like that these have come with alioli.
You know, I want to try and make that alioli that you told me about.
that you and I think you and Marina tried to make this alioli, like the real alioli.
With no egg. It's just oil and garlic.
That's right. Mm. And we were talking about it, and I said, no, there's no way you can make a mayonnaise without egg. You have to need egg. And I didn't believe you, actually. I have to be honest. I didn't believe you.
Alioli, in case anyone doesn't know, is garlic mayonnaise, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And supposedly you can make it with no egg, but we haven't, neither you or us have managed it.
I actually enlisted my mum on this in this endeavor, and she tried, and she got it very, very close, but it didn't quite, you know, thicken up properly. And apparently there's all sorts of superstition about making homemade mayonnaise in terms of, like, you know, there's a, it's
salmonella.
A real... No, not in that way.
I'm quite superstitious about that.
No. Apparently there's an old superstition that, you know, women who are on their periods should not, because it won't work. It won't work when you're on your period. When you're making, that's some sort of, that's a real...
Spanish superstition.
Yeah.
Wow. I think we're living up to the name of our podcast.
I think we are.
Spanish Lunch.
Yeah, absolutely. We're like, this is like no holds barred here. We're going to take on everything.
What are chanquetes?
Chanquetes are tiny, tiny, tiny little fish that they just batter and fry whole. And they used to be wild, like, and they fished them here, and, you know, outside Malaga at night. They'd be attracted by the light. And they just scooped them up by the bucket load. And it, of course, they were decimating the population of this species of fish. And came near eradicating them. So they made it illegal. The fishing was legal. But then there was, like, then there were furtivos, you know, the people fishing at night illegally to get them, because people were paying 30, 40 euros a plate for them. And then finally, they figured, all right, we're not going to beat this. And they farm them, so they're farmed.
Oh, right.
And, you know, it's kind of like eating potato chips. It's okay, because there's a crunch, and it's salty, and it's the batter, but really, there's practically no taste to them at all.
They look like straw potato.
Yeah, they look like, those
fries.
Like, yeah.
Anda.
Yeah.
Que ambiente.
So would you, what decisions are you going to make when this guy comes around to ask for some money? Would you pay him if you don't like the music? Would you give him something?
I don't like the music, no.
Yeah.
But I didn't like the music.
Yeah.
And I'm happy, and give him some money.
Yeah.
You pay him. On my behalf.
I'm Mr. Moneybags here. I don't know how many times I've heard that over the past couple of days. You pay, Mike. You pay. You pay. It's always I pay. What the hell?
Mire, pulpo frito, pulpo. Pulpo frito.
That had a great lyric, if I heard it right. He no estaba muerto, estaba tomando cañas. He wasn't dead, he was drinking beers. That was like the chorus line.
That's great. And he played that whole thing without that. What's the bottom string? What
the thin string.
E string? He played that entire thing. Apparently, you only need 5 strings on a guitar. Like, I don't think he needs any more. Like, it sounded fine to me. I don't know. And the thing is, like, we're surrounded. This is not exactly. I mean, obviously, everywhere is a little bit touristy, like in places that are like this, but. This is where my godparents come, and, you know, they're as malagueño as it gets. And there's lots of mostly Spanish people here.
Yeah.
And so, yes, it seems a little touristy with the guy playing guitar, but it's also part of real life here. You know,
it's lovely, yeah.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of A Spanish Lunch. Do head over to aspanishlunch.com to leave us a comment. Hasta pronto!